Good morning. Somebody told me in the kitchen, you're on. I said, well, I'll make a grand entrance. So it's like, I have been here, but I was just doing some other church business this morning, several different pieces of church business. But it's good to be back. I was away last weekend, but it is good to be back with you, and it's good to see so many folks here today. And I'm glad you were able to get around the runners this morning. I didn't know about it till yesterday, so I didn't send an email out warning you that if you're coming from the West End, there are 1,500 people running through the West End of the city.
It was hard.
And you might get stuck or caught in traffic. But they're supposed to be done by 11, so we might have a few more people rolling in a little late, but using that as an excuse or a reason. But anyway, so it's good to have you here today. And if you look at the back page of the bulletin, you see the calendar for this week, and it's rather busy for a summer week. We do have a congregational business meeting after the service today. I do not expect it to be a very long one, but one never knows. That's up to the congregational members and questions and comments. So what I have to say is not real long. But also you want to note that we do continue to have Bible study on Tuesday mornings. And this week we have our Glen Ridge worship service on Tuesday afternoon. The property trustees are meeting Thursday evening, and we have feeding ministry on Friday, and we are doing our summer menu, so we do not need cakes this month. So all bakers can get a vacation this month and next month. We'll be purchasing desserts. So just wanted to let you know, but those who would like to come and help feeding ministry, we'd be more than happy to have your help. We start I haven't even thought about it. Probably around 3-ish, 3:30-ish, since we don't have to cook, and we'll serve at 5:30. You may have noticed the sign-up sheet out in the hallway for our greeters and coffee hour hosts, and as of a few minutes ago, there were vacancies for both next Sunday and the following Sunday. So if you're willing to be a greeter or a coffee hour host on either of those Sundays, please sign up. Also, there is an insert in your bulletin about the Housing Families Backpack Drive that we are participating in, and the deacons have purchased the backpacks, and now we're inviting you to purchase some supplies to help go in those backpacks. And we'll be doing that through the end of the month at least. Also, we received this a couple months ago, but I cleaned out my mailbox before I went on vacation last week, so I found this. I think it was. So it was dated back in March. But, good news is always good whenever it comes. So it's dated March 20th, and it's from the Dear Habitat for Humanity International Food Fair Partner. What an outstanding day we all had on Saturday, February 3rd, 2018, at the First Church in Swampscott to support North Shore and International Habitat for Humanity. It is awesome to think that this was the 34th International Food Fair to support Habitat. There was a lot of excitement in the room where old friends and new connections gathered to serve fantastic food and to bid on some really great silent auction items. We are so grateful to our longtime partners, sister churches, St. Pius V and Sacred Heart Parishes in Lynn, First Baptist Church of Malden, and Community Covenant Church of Peabody for their longtime support. As in years past, the efforts of all of you and the folks who came to eat, bid, and visit with old and new friends helped us to raise close to $7,000 for Habitat for Humanity. These donated funds will be used to build safe, stable, and environmentally efficient housing for families waiting to experience the joy of home ownership, both on the North Shore and internationally. Again, thank you so very much for your participation in this event, for enjoying foods from around the world, the fantastic silent auction, and seeing your church family participants engage in doing God's work through mission partnership with Habitat for Humanity. Please keep February 2nd, 2019, open for your participation in the 35th Annual International Food Fair to support Habitat for Humanity. With great thanks and God's peace, Sharon Thomas, Habitat Food Fair Chair, First Church Congregational in Swampscott. So that is a thank you to us as a partner church, one of three that they was outlined there, but also a way of supporting that ministry of providing housing, clean and decent, environmentally safe housing. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. And you may think this first statement is a radical statement, but I'm making it, you're not. Some people are destroyed by Jesus.
He is the stone that makes them stumble, the rock that will make them fall.
Some people find life's meaning in Jesus.
God's people are built on the foundation laid by the apostles and the prophets, and Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone.
What is Christ to you? A stone over which you fall, or the cornerstone around which your life is built?
We decide to have Jesus as the cornerstone of our lives.
Our opening hymn this morning is Christ is Made the Sure Foundation, number 671. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Pray together. Holy God, we come to you as those who search for ways to love more wisely, to live more genuinely, to learn more steadily. We seek to base our lives on the love of Christ, that from day to day we may be passionate and patient, faithful and forgiving in loving one another and this world of many people and many differences. Through the Spirit, build your church into a living temple, a sign of your presence on earth through Jesus Christ, our foundation. We ask this in his name, and now pray as he taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And this morning, Sugatha Jeevankumar was going to be coming and singing for us.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down. Let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. So give it all. There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all.
Thank you, Sugantha, very much.
God does want what's all from us. We have a God that is there all the time for us. Beautiful call to prayer. We have a time of sharing celebrations and concerns with one another. We do spend a few moments in prayer. We celebrate the day that Virginia Williams have returned to England, Florida. Talking directly yet, but it's good to have you here. It's interesting how all the choir flocked together. Not all the two back rows crunched in.
You're a family.
I know. The choir is a family. And it's nice to have you all here today. So it's just interesting how we all flock. So, you know, so those that aren't in the choir that are sitting on this side, you know, we have to compete with the choir members when we sing hymns. But Mark and Dottie Foxen are here. I know, Mark, I think you were here last week, too, but you're back since I came back. This is your first time, so good to see Mark back, able to be here today as well. Mark's, you know, had a little rough time in June, but it's July now, Mark, and it's good to have you here. It's good to have you here. And we want to continue to pray for Staff Sergeant George McCurry, who was deployed on Friday to Kuwait and Afghanistan. And I haven't talked to Joe in a couple weeks, but I know Joe is down in Rhode Island on Friday seeing George off. So we want to keep George and his unit, obviously, in prayer as they are still serving our military, serving our country. And as we are continuing to pray for our Judson Association churches today, it's the Shalom Missionary Baptist Church in Melrose. And they meet at the First Baptist Church in Melrose, which is up the street from us. So we want to pray for that congregation today. And do you have any requests for prayer as we go to this week, either celebration or concern? Dottie?
Sort of a celebration, but we need big prayers. Cassidy is having her chin fixed tomorrow.
Wonderful.
Wednesday, I'm sorry.
Wednesday.
And the outcome of having that chin is so important, is that she will be finally able at 6 years old to have a trip. And I think more excited, so she will be able to. She has a voice, but not a big one.
She'll be able to breathe more and have a voice.
Yes, no real voice.
Her trach will be able to take it out. It is, depending on the construction, the success of the construction. So we want to pray for Cassidy and the medical teams that will be caring for her this week. And mom and dad as well. And then the whole family during this time. We want to pray for Cassidy especially. Who else have a prayer request? Richard.
We celebrated yesterday our 55th wedding anniversary. And watch Xander Bogaerts hit that home run. We were at the game.
If you're not a Red Sox fan, you know what
I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm talking about. It was a grand slam in the fifth inning. They won the game. We celebrated yesterday.
Congratulations.
Let's see. Church, thank you so much for praying for the church in Uzbekistan. And like for 17 years, 17 years past, we didn't have registration, like officially to pray. And last week, Sunday, we received it.
Wonderful.
So now we can open it like but it can be appropriate. Thank you so much for your prayers.
That's wonderful. Yeah, we sometimes take for granted, especially you know, the month of July when we celebrate our independence. We forget about other nations that don't have freedoms that we enjoy here and have enjoyed for a long time. But with Uzbekistan, the citizens there, they're able to have their own church.
Thank you so much for prayer.
Anyone else have a prayer request? Is that Liz?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're back from Japan.
I am back.
Welcome
yes,
back.
Yes, that's a celebration. but David's younger, second cousin, youngest, was diagnosed with some kidney disease and artificial gene, and she's only 8. So it's great.
So Dave's second cousin is only 8 years old. He's been diagnosed with some type of kidney disease. And so, you know, one of the medical tests, obviously, and then determining what kind of treatment might be.
Irene?
Yes, Irene.
I was wondering, last week I asked our prayers for all the children over there in Thailand, and praise God today that all those boys and their coach were able to be taken out. Just incredible.
All the soccer players that were in the coach that were in the cage.
Right. And all the people that came in to come.
The bravery of all the people in that. Within the cave and we're trying to dig and the ambulances that were there ready to whisk them away.
They're all doing well. I saw the news today and the newspapers.
But I think their time was running out.
Right.
So it was daring and bold when they did it, but they had to. So it is a celebration. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up something or someone that's been mentioned here or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving relationships that support us and strengthen us. For many of us, we have jobs to do or we've had employment in the past. We have ways of being and how we measure to be productive in our lives.
We thank you for that. Lord, we pray this day for those who are ill and injured and not able to be as we measure productivity. We pray for those today. We pray especially for Cassidy as she's having surgery this week, others that may be undergoing surgical procedures, others who are undergoing medical tests and treatments. We thank you for the medical teams that have been educated and have the talent and the skill to care for us when our bodies and our minds are broken or injured. Lord, we just pray for those that are in that field today, that you know, they may have the wisdom to care for their patients. Lord, we also bless you and thank you for the opportunity of coming here to worship you. Some of us come every single week, and others come when we're able to come. For some, it's been maybe several weeks or even months before since we've been able to be here together. We just thank you, Lord, for those that have chosen to be here today in your house on the corner of Main and Salem Streets to worship you and to be spending this time in prayer with you. Lord, we, as I mentioned earlier, we often take for granted the freedoms that we enjoy in the United States. We pray for the church in Uzbekistan that they now have the freedom to be a church and be recognized. We just thank you and praise you for all that's going on in that nation. Lord, we also pray for our sister church, the Shalom Missionary Baptist Church in Melrose. It's an ethnic congregation, and we're reaching out to people. And Lord, we just pray that their ministry may be following your guidance for them, that they may be ministering in the Melrose and greater Melrose community and reaching out to those with Christ's love. Lord, we look around and we see so many ethnic churches. We say, why don't they become part of us? Lord, we know that they have their own identity. And we thank you for that. We're so gracious and thankful that they have come to this country and they know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior and willing to share that love with others. Lord, we pray for our congregation as well as we meet in business today, but also as we reach out with Christ's love from this corner, the city of Malden, but our reach is so vast, oh God, not just up the street, but across this state and around our world as we share the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you will enable us and empower us to be faithful disciples in all that you've called us to do. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
To worship. We've done some of those today already. We have an opportunity now to continue in worship as we present our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering, and Chandra is going to be coming and singing his solo now.
I can only imagine it'll be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or in my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship you. I can only imagine. What will my heart feel when I dance for you, Jesus? All in all, if you be still, will I stand in your presence? On my knees will I fall, will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Love with others. We ask this in His name. Amen. Peggy Blum will be coming today to read scripture.
I'm reading from the Revised Version. On Ephesians, page 178, verses chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in flesh by hand. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments, ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two. So making peace, it might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both were accessed in one spirit in Christ, in the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are built into the dwelling place of God in his Spirit. So reads the words from the Holy Bible.
Thank you, Peggy. Let's pray together. Lord God, as we gather here today and have heard your word read it ourselves, from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, we see a church that was struggling to understand what it means to be a follower of Christ and how it comes to accept those who want to follow Christ. Lord, we have struggles in our church as well, and most churches today have struggles. Lord, we pray that our time together today, that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living and strengthen our congregation. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you own one of these? Oh, quite a few of you. Quite a few. Do you know there's quite a bit of power in this little blue book? Did you know that you can go to 158 countries without securing a visa first? That this little blue book will get you in and out. But you know, there's another book, a burgundy-colored book that is even more powerful than the U.S. passport. That's the German passport. It allows their citizens to enter and exit 161 countries. Three more countries than our passport does. No other country in the world offers its citizens more unfettered access to nations of the globe than Germany. While the U.S. passport is strong, it will not get us everywhere without a visa. Let's say we want to go to the Great Wall of China and the Forbidden City, or perhaps the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg, Russia. So we make all of our plans, we take time off from work, we purchase our tickets, we pack, we get to the airport, and our passport is checked. And if we do not have a visa for one of those countries, we're not permitted to board the plane. And when instead of traveling, we end up going home. Our passport's power is limited. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, he recognized that a similar passport crisis was occurring within the church. Some congregations then, and perhaps now, required certain ethnic, political, and theological visas before entry and full acceptance was granted. Racial, cultural divisions between the Jews who had come to faith in Christ and the many Gentiles, or those non-Jews, who were now flocking to the church, had reached a breaking point. These divisions had just gone to a point where they were splitting the church apart. Jewish Christians did not recognize the Gentile passport of offering proof of full citizenship for the kingdom of God. They argued that a visa was required. And in this case, that visa was the physical passport stamp of circumcision. Since the time of Abraham, circumcision meant that one was truly an Israelite. Without that mark, the Gentiles could only be second-class citizens by comparison, for the Jews argued that you had to come through Judaism to arrive at Christ. But the Apostle Paul intervenes in the situation like a fair-minded customs officer. As a Jew and a former Pharisee, a leader and learned scholar of the Jewish law, and as an apostle to the Gentiles, whose culture he understood very well, Paul understood the dilemma, but also knew the solution. He proposed that the old passports, held separately by Jews and by Gentiles, were now invalid. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile, slave or free, he wrote to the Galatians. So it wasn't just the church at Ephesus that had that problem. We know that the church at Rome had that problem too. For he was saying that your Jewish passports and your Gentile passports are invalid. As citizens of a new sovereign realm, you've been freely given a new passport with a visa that will get you into any community of faith anywhere in the world. Visit the church in Rome, they'll let you in. Visit the church in Corinth, they'll let you in. Visit the church in Thessalonica, they'll let you in there too. Your old passport, your connections to a previous life, have been replaced by a new common citizenship where the only qualification is faith in Jesus Christ. And the only visa needed is the mark of Christ's blood shed on the cross. At one time, Gentiles, as far as the Jews were concerned, were considered to be passportless, aliens and strangers who were at least temporarily without a country, without hope, and without God in the world. But now, writes Paul, those who were once far off have received a new identity along with God's covenant people, an identity stamped with the blood of Christ. So what does this new, incredibly powerful passport represent? And what kinds of access does it open up to the rest of the world? Paul offers a short list of some of the rights and responsibilities of faithful passport holders of the sovereign realm of God. First, this new passport transcends artificial boundaries and borders. In verse 14 of today's scripture, Paul reminds the Ephesians that Christ in his flesh has made both Jews and Gentiles into one group and has broken down that dividing wall, that is the hostility between them. Paul may have been referring to his own house arrest in Rome, an event that allowed him to take the time to write to the believers in Ephesus. He had been accused of bringing a Gentile into the temple in Jerusalem and taking a non-Jew beyond a particular dividing wall in the temple was such a heinous act and breach of Jewish law that even the Romans permitted Jewish leaders to execute anyone who violated that sacred space. Paul was spared only because of his Roman citizenship and was given the right of appeal. Awaiting the outcome of that appeal, Paul was held by authorities in Rome and took up letter writing. While he couldn't travel, he could at least write letters. The readers who first received this letter would have known why Paul was in prison. For them, the barrier between Jew and Gentile was best symbolized by the dividing wall of the temple. But Paul announces, and this must have come as a powerful shock, that this dividing wall had been shattered in Christ, who takes the place of the temple and enables all people to come together in him. Now, there are still plenty of dividing walls, both inside and outside of today's church, just as there were in Ephesus. Divisions of race, politics, practices, and doctrines often cause Christians to look at others as second-class citizens of the sovereign realm of God. Paul says that faith in Christ transcends these artificial barriers and boundaries. Like him, we must be bold enough to cross those boundaries, even if it costs us something. If we are in Christ, the only passport and the most powerful one is a passport in that one country of which we are all citizens. Secondly, the passport of the sovereign realm of God also brings with it a new set of rules. Paul wrote that Christ has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace. The law in which Paul refers was the law of Moses and its practices that separated Jews from Gentiles. Paul saw this law was already had been fulfilled by Christ, and the death and resurrection of Jesus made peace between God and humanity and between Jews and Gentiles. Citizenship in this new realm of God is thus marked by faith in and obedience to Jesus Christ, and not by what we eat or what we wear or how we worship. Third, this new passport guarantees the citizens of the sovereign realm of God have direct access to the sovereign, the ruler, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That is power. The old covenant was mediated by priests in the temple who offered sacrifices on behalf of the people for the forgiveness of sins. But now Paul says through Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles have access in one spirit to the Father. Instead of a customs gatekeeper who chooses to allow people into the country based on the passport they hold, Jesus acts more like a welcoming host who enables us to bring ourselves directly to God. We don't need an intermediary anymore. We have also been given the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us in ways that are beyond our understanding. The Spirit not only intercedes for us, but it also gives us direct access to God. And the Spirit also gives followers of Jesus their travel itineraries. Because we have access to God, any place we go is an opportunity to share God's love in the power of the Spirit. There is no border and no boundary that the Spirit cannot cross. And when we embrace our citizenship in the kingdom, we have much more access to the world than even a German passport can grant. Whether it's just walking across the street or flying across the expanse of the globe, every day is an opportunity to represent Christ and invite others to become citizens of his kingdom. Fourthly, Paul reminds us that this heavenly passport never expires. Most travel visas today have a short period of validity, from a month or two to a few years. Our citizenship in the sovereign realm of God is citizenship in a country that has no end, and all are invited to travel to it for an unlimited time period. And what's more, we're invited not only to travel there, but to become citizens. It's freely offered, and there's nothing we need to do to qualify except to gratefully receive. It's an offer that will never be revoked. The passport will not be confiscated. In verses 19 through 22 of today's text, Paul stresses that with God's passport, we are no longer a stranger or an alien, and the commonwealth of God is built on the tradition of the prophets and apostles and upon Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of that commonwealth, an eternal commonwealth populated by eternal citizens bearing eternal passports. And finally, this new powerful passport allows us access to all areas of that country. People who enjoy traveling abroad know that some countries do not allow unfettered access to all areas of the country. Some restrictions may apply. Going to Tibet can be difficult. And even if we are granted access, we must be accompanied by a registered guide, and not all areas of the country may be visited. Even a visa allowing access to the People's Republic of China does not grant us access to all areas of the country. There are parts of some provinces where tourists will be turned away. But in the Commonwealth of God, one can roam at will. We are free to go into areas of poverty and give food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, clothing to the naked, shelter to the homeless, and medical aid to the sick. We are free to build schools and hospitals, to open clinics and food banks. We are welcomed in communities of faith. We are free to speak truth to power, to march in protests, to worship in peace, to proclaim the coming of the sovereign realm of God. There are no restrictions. It's a powerful passport that we carry as citizens of another country, but perhaps it needs to be renewed. In a world where divisions seem to grow deeper every day, it's time for the church, with a big C as well as the small C's, to renew the passport that we've been given in Jesus Christ. It's time to be bold enough to break down walls of racial, ethnic, social, and political divisions in the church so that we can demonstrate to the world what true citizens of the divine commonwealth look like. We must be willing to go and share life together with other citizens whom governments and pundits might see as aliens and strangers, but whom the people of God see as brothers and sisters and fellow citizens of another world in a different age. And as any seasoned traveler knows, we must never let that passport, our new powerful passport, out of our sight. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the new passport that we have through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the freedoms that it offers, for the privileges and responsibilities that we have. And Lord, we pray that we may take up those responsibilities and take them seriously, that when we say yes to Jesus Christ and we want to be a follower, that we need to share his message and his love with others, that they too may gain a passport and may become part citizens of your realm. Lord, we pray that we may work to, in our world today, to share your love and your justice with others, that they too may come to know you and to recognize Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We ask this all in his name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is We Are God's People, number 669.
Thank you.
following the postlude, we will have a moment for those who wish to leave, may do so, but we are encouraging church members to stay for our congregational business meeting. As I said, I'm hoping it doesn't take too long. So, we have been on mountains, but we are called to walk in the valleys. We have been on highways, but we are called to travel the byways. And we are the realm of heaven, but we are called to live in the realm of earth. May the peace of God go with us and the power of God's Spirit be in us, this day and forevermore. Amen.